You can fire a rocket or you can post a lie. One kills bodies, the other corrupts the mind. This is a propaganda war. And Christians, if you don't speak up, the enemy will win without having to fire another shot.
Daniel Cohen, a three-time Emmy Award-winning journalist who left mainstream media to follow God's calling to Israel, teams up with the Real Life Network to bring you The Daniel Cohen Show. Now, from the center of the world, he's exposing lies, challenging silence, and connecting global events to Scripture.
When a terrorist launches a missile, the media calls it an escalation. When Israel defends itself from being attacked, they call it aggression. I've seen how this narrative goes, how easy it is to manipulate the masses when the truth is buried six paragraphs down. The propaganda is louder than ever, dressed up in professionalism, progress, and political correctness. But it can't hide because we're here to expose it. That's why this show exists.
The Daniel Cohen Show on the Real Life Network.
Welcome our good friend and News Bureau Chief in Jerusalem, Daniel Cohen. All right.
Great to be with you.
Hey, everybody, let's pray. Father, we give you this night. We ask you, Lord, that you'd be honored as we open up your word and as we speak of your people and as we talk about your items and your issues at a time like this. We thank you that you're not a God of mistakes or mishaps. Every single one of us are alive for this moment. So bless our dialogue for these next 90 minutes. And Father, we pray that we would leave this place tonight edified, built up, and wiser because we have spent time with you. Amen. We pray now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So you guys can be seated. And so Daniel, we've got a lot to get into tonight, but one of the things that I would ask of you is Lisa and I are very, very familiar with what God did with you and Paige, your wonderful wife and family, but they don't know. And so I just want you to tell them as though we're sitting at the coffee table, how is it that somebody who had their beginnings right here, I mean right here in the States.
I was born in San Bernardino County Hospital just down the road here. So
amazing.
Yeah.
But he spent some time in San Diego where... Yeah. That's my home, he's a good guy. But tell everybody how it is that you guys wound up in Israel.
Guys, look, all I can tell you to answer that question, it's a long, God-filled, faith-filled story, but I will just tell you this, and it pertains to all of you because it's not just me. God is positioning his people right now.
It's true.
That includes you. My anniversary is at the end of the month with my wife, Paige, 17 years. We got married in San Diego at Liberty Station. And if you would have told me in 2008, well, yeah, thank you.
That's right.
Okay. If you would have told me a few years from now, not in the distant future, if the Lord would have said, you're going to be living in Israel, your children are speaking Hebrew, they're going to a school that's full Hebrew immersion, you're going to be living there, there'll be news going, I'll be like, okay, Lord, I don't know. I was Ron Burgundy, stay classy all day, remember? I was the morning anchor at his legacy number one station in San Diego, and we felt this tug and pull in our hearts to come to L.A., where our family's from. We have family in Orange County. My mom's in Santa Barbara. We have family in L.A. COVID hits, and I was the morning anchor, one of the local stations. Do I say their name? Do I not say? It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Fox 11. I was the morning anchor at Good Day L.A., and worked with wonderful people. Almost overnight, God took that show. It's not just me. It was a great team. We went from number 6 to number 5 to number 4, number 3 to number 2, and competing for number 1. And then COVID hit, and everything went sideways. Do you remember in the early days of COVID how fearful everyone was? Do you remember the fear? Seniors dying in nursing homes by themselves, couldn't see their family, couldn't see their patients. It was the week of Easter, and I had reached out to Franklin Graham. I had reached out to Samaritan's Purse. If you remember, they were building field hospitals in New York City in Central Park to try to help COVID patients. Do you remember that? And I said, hey, it's the week of Easter. I had reached out to a few other prominent pastors. Jack, I didn't know you yet. I should have called you, but we just didn't know each other, not yet. But God, oh, guys, God is amazing. And so 5 minutes, Franklin Graham's office calls me back. Yep, Daniel, we'd love to have Franklin Graham, Pastor Graham on Good Day LA. It's Good Friday. People need hope now more than ever. Mm. My boss spiked the interview. You know what that means, right? They killed it. And I said, why would you spike this interview? By the way, Billy Graham started his entire crusade. He started a big tent revival in Los Angeles in 1949.
That's right.
And this is Franklin Graham. And they're helping people for free that have COVID. Why would you do that? And I'll never forget what my boss said to me. She said, Dan, having Franklin Graham on our air would be an unforced error.
What?
And I stood back and I said, what are you talking about? We had Black Lives Matter on every other week, if you remember.
Yeah.
Right? And our job is to put newsmakers on the air. That's news, new. That's the first three, new. You may not agree with everything that he says. She happened to be a gay woman, but she said it would be an unforced error. And I had to call Franklin Graham back and say, I'm so sorry. This was not my decision, but we can't have this interview. It crushed me. I thought it was horrible, terrible. I thought it was completely the wrong decision. But a few months later, my contract was coming up, and guess what happened? They said, Daniel, well, you're wonderful. We know you have three Emmys. The ratings have gone from number 6 to number 2. You're awesome. We're not renewing your contract.
Wow.
And I said, okay. Now look, God's a gentleman. The Lord was really good. The Lord was gracious because he had been giving. Have you ever had, not a fear, but have you ever had a stirring in your heart that you knew something was, have you ever had, who's experienced that before? Anyone? So when he got the news, I came home and I told my wife, I said, hey, they're not renewing my contract. We immediately prayed and fasted. The Lord was speaking to me immediately. I was driving to work at 3 o'clock in the morning and the Lord put the story of Elijah on my heart. Mm. Remember Elijah just calls fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. He witnesses this amazing miracle. Jezebel threatens him and he runs for his life after witnessing this amazing miracle. And the Lord was speaking to me as I was listening to the sermon at 3 o'clock in the morning as I'm driving to work. And he says, I'm gonna take you to a place where I'm gonna feed you. Where I'm gonna feed your family. And the hair on my arms and my neck stands up because he says to me, I don't know if you've ever heard the voice of the Lord, he says, Israel. I've never been to Israel. Who's been to Israel before in this room? Who's not been to Israel yet? Notice I said yet. You're all coming to Israel.
Yes. Yes.
I wanna get one of those C-130s like they had in Afghanistan and put you all on it and fly you because you need to see it.
Yep.
The Bible will come alive for you when you can sit at the top of the Mount of Olives and say, oh, I'm in the place. This is right here where I'm standing. Okay, back to the story. And so the Lord says, Israel. And my grandma's a Holocaust survivor. I'm a Cohen. I'm a follower of Yeshua, right? And I said, we'd love to go to Israel. We actually had a plan right before COVID hit to go for our first time. And my wife and I, Paige and I, we prayed. We said, Lord, we just want to go to Israel. I know many of you have that prayer. I want to go to Israel so bad. And we joke, we say, but we don't want the aerial tour from the rapture. We want to see Israel. Ah, God's got a sense of humor. So I get home and I tell my wife, and she's praying and fasting. And the Lord was putting on her heart Abraham and Sarah. And remember, when the Israelites... They followed the pillar and they followed the cloud. And when it said move, and when it stopped, it stopped. And sometimes it was for days, and sometimes it was months and years. And my wife and I both had this peace. Okay, Lord's taking us to Israel. Let's go to Israel. It's COVID time. The airport's closed. We don't have Israeli passports. We don't have a social security. It's called a two-dot zahut. We have nothing. They're not letting Israelis into the country. But the Lord spoke very clearly to both of us, Israel. So we said, okay, Lord. If you're sending us to Israel, you're going to have to do it because we can't just book a ticket and go. And so we reached out to the consulate in Los Angeles and they said, well, you could go for a funeral on a special approval. And we said, well, my grandma's not dead, but she's about to turn 98 and has never met our children, her great-grandchildren, and we'd love to make that happen. And they said, okay, you can go on a humanitarian approval. We said, great, wonderful. So we bought the plane tickets. We had to do all those things first. And we petitioned a 73-page document. I don't want to get too much in the weeds, but it's important. There's a payoff. And we petitioned, and we waited. Have you ever waited on the Lord? Anybody waiting on the Lord? We sold our cars. Our house, we lived in Westlake Village on the other side of L.A. by Thousand Oaks. We let that go. We're packing up all of our things, and we're waiting. We have a plane that's about to depart, and we have no answer. And our family's looking at us, and they're saying, you're moving to Israel. And we're like, we're not moving to Israel. We've never been to Israel. We got a call 8 days before our plane took off. They said, you're approved. You're going to Israel. Man. Our family there, my aunt, my cousin, we had some extended family, my grandma. I cried. I've never been. We've never been, but we said, okay, we're coming. We have no idea what's in front of us. We weren't going for a job. We weren't going for anything other than grandma's about to turn 98, and she's never met our kids. So we get there. We're living in Airbnbs, about 10 months, 11 months or so, literally Airbnb hopping around from Jerusalem to Tel Aviv to the Sea of Galilee. Let me tell you how amazing that was. Wow. Getting to see, we went to Bethlehem. We walked to the Church of the Nativity, you know, and we walked in and went, okay, let's go. You know, like, there were no tourists. We got to see Israel like no one has in 2,000 years. We were, no, really.
Nobody's there.
Nobody's there. Who's been to the Garden Tomb? I love the Garden Tomb.
Beautiful.
I love the Garden Tomb. When I sit there, I feel the presence of the Lord. We got to sit in there. The guy who ran the place, during COVID, it was closed. And I called and I said, my family's been waiting. We would love to come to the Garden Tomb. He goes, I know you. I used to watch you on the news in San Diego. That's great.
That's awesome.
I was like, amazing. He says, yeah, come on over. Unlocks it, lets us in. You know, there's these bars in there, if you've ever been in. They had to erect these bars, which is sad because people were in there chiseling out the inside and selling it on eBay. It's heartbreaking. But he basically hands us the key. And we're just sitting in there, my family, all by ourselves, just with a ukulele, praising and worshiping the Lord. What? Amazing. And as we are then introduced, and as we are seeing Israel for the first time, oh, by the way, Grandma did meet her great-grandchildren at her 98th birthday party, and there was not a dry eye.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That's amazing.
Auschwitz survivor. And God says, Aliyah. Who's familiar with Aliyah? Aliyah. My mom lived in Israel. She left Israel in 1960. My grandma, the Holocaust survivor, if you're Jewish, if you have one Jewish grandparent, the law of return in Israel says, if you can prove it, if you can show it, you can make Aliyah. You can become a citizen. And I thought, well, I'm a Jewish follower of Yeshua. And Jack, there are people that will look at me and say, you're not Jewish.
That's right, yeah.
And I say, huh, I'm a Cohen. On one side, I'm a Levi. Cohen, Levi, the priest. I mean, it doesn't really get any more Jewish than that. But I had people, you know, this is what I'm like, Lord, are you sure? Because, you know, one bad clerk interviewing me and they can just lose your file and your process is done and it's over. Plus, there are people that dream about making Aliyah their entire lives. They dream of going to Israel and becoming a citizen. That was not our dream. But God gave us this dream. He put it in our hearts, and we said, Lord, thank you. Okay, so we started the Aliyah process. God's plans cannot be stopped, everybody. They cannot be stopped.
Yeah, so true.
We became a citizen. I want to just do a flyover of that. That's an amazing story. But while we were in the Aliyah process, I connected with Newsmax. I became the first ever Jerusalem correspondent, which was in itself, you know, forerunning and blazing a trail. I love the guy who started Newsmax. He's a wonderful friend. He loves Israel. I love him dearly. I love him dearly. But while we're in Israel and while we're going through the Aliyah process, they didn't have anybody. They said, you're our guy. October 7th happens. We joke, so we say we came for COVID. We stayed for the war. Well, we've seen a lot. There were hard days. Really hard days. After the terror attack, I started receiving messages from Pastor Jack. I'd interviewed you, I think, a couple of times before that. But I know many of you have that Rocket Alert app on your phone, Homefront mm-hmm. Command or Red Alert. And Pastor Jack, 9,000 miles away, would just send me a text. Hey, Daniel, I can see that there are rockets flying over your house, your community. How's your wife? How are your kids? Wow. Thank you, Pastor Jack. We're okay. It's frightening, but we're okay. Sometimes mid-live shot, I'm talking, and I can see the rocket, mm-hmm. and I'm just walking with my cameraman and walking inside. Multiple times, Jack says, hey, I can see you're under attack again. What's, you know, we're okay. Thank you, Pastor Jack. Our taxis to bring us here. On this trip, our family, we had rockets. We had Houthi rockets, ballistic missile incoming as we were loading our bags in the car. It's still happening. It's still going on. Some scary scuff. Mm-hmm. About October 9th or 10th, I want to say. I'm trying to remember the dates. I know it's really important. But my wife and I, it was right after the terror attack, we're being, thousands of missiles are coming from Gaza, from Hamas. And everyone's watching and waiting because Lebanon, which is directly to the north, where Hezbollah is, we're waiting. And if they start to attack, or Yemen, the Houthis, who have been attacking, Israel is surrounded by what's called a ring of fire. Israel's 0.4% in the Middle East. It's surrounded by terror enemies who want to destroy Israel. Who would kill me given the chance? Just like that. We were on our faces in prayer. Lord, I'm a family here in LA, and they're like, what are you doing? Get out of there. You have a wife, you've got kids. I'm not a war correspondent. I've never served in the military. God bless you all who have. I respect you immensely. I understand. I had family saying, I'm glad you're there. It's important that you're there. People need to know the truth of what's going on in Israel. They need to see it from someone who shares our worldview, somebody who's not going to lie. I have friends I have friends who are correspondents who have been told from up on high at their networks that they're not allowed to call Hamas terrorists. Yep. They have been told they have to call them militants or freedom fighters.
Yep.
Freedom fighters. You know what they did on October 7th to women, to children, to Holocaust survivors, to seniors, to babies. Freedom fighters? How offensive.
Right.
Pastor Jack says, hey, you know, we really have, Israel is the epicenter of it all. Ezekiel 5:5, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I've placed Jerusalem in the heart of all nations and everything else around her. We want honest biblical worldview news from Jerusalem, from Israel. Would you do it? My wife and I prayed about it. It took about 3 seconds. We could not be more honored, thrilled, feel supported. We've built a studio. September 2nd, the Daniel Cohen Show is launching from Israel.
Yeah, that's right.
We are so thrilled and honored. Our roots are here. Our family is here. When I'm here, I feel like I'm home. But when we go back to Israel, I feel like I'm home. I want you all to know, we bring a perspective here where I'm not just the guy who was sent there to say, yes, these people are attacking these people. We have all the stressors. Our children, Caleb, Olivia, and Hannah. Our son's about to have a bar mitzvah at the Kotel next month at the Western Wall. Wow. In the spirit and honoring Jesus and Yeshua. Yep. Right near the southern steps in a first century road that Jesus walked. Wow. Boom.
That's right.
Our daughter Olivia is a gymnast. She's ranked in the country. Unbelievable. Our littlest Hannah as well. We're a family just like you that God lifted up, brought to Israel, and put us down. We have all the stresses that you have, getting the kids to school, all the things, getting them to practice, picking them up, and every once in a while we have ballistic missile fire.
Just a bomb or two.
That's right. But God's hand of protection is over us. We love and know and feel and support. We feel your prayers. I want to tell you, please keep them coming. Mm-hmm. I get messages every day from some of you I know that are sitting right here. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your wife. I'm praying for your children. That means more to us than you know. It's a spiritual war that's going on. And I know you know that. Pastor Jack is so strong on Israel. And more pastors need to be strong on Israel. If you're a pastor and you're listening,
yep.
But it's not just the pastor's job. God put this on my heart today. It's all of our job. It's your job. It's not just those with the Master of Divinity or this degree from Azusa Pacific right down the road. You need to know and be able to articulate why Israel. Why?
That's right.
God made a covenant to protect Israel. This book is all about Israel. It's all about. It was written by Jews. For a Jewish audience first, and Gentiles as well. God has a special place in his heart. Jesus was born in where?
Israel.
Bethlehem. Where did he live? Bethlehem, exactly. He lived. He performed miracles. He had a ministry that he performed. It was incredible. Miracles. Said he would be resurrected after dying on a cross. And he was. And guess what? He's coming back to?
Yeah, Jerusalem, Israel.
You cannot say, I'm a Christian, I'm an evangelical, and I love Jesus, but I don't support Israel. Those two things don't equate.
That's right. That's right. Impossible.
And here's why. Here's why. It's not that Israel's holy holier than anyone else. It's not that Netanyahu's perfect or imperfect. Trump's imperfect. I'm imperfect. Are you perfect, Pastor Jeff?
No.
If you're
no, I thought you were going to say, am I imperfect?
No.
Yes, I'm imperfect.
Anybody out here that's perfect, just raise your hand for me. Israel isn't perfect. Israel isn't holy. God is holy, and he made a promise. God's gifting and plan and call are irrevocable.
That's right.
If you're in the Catholic Church, look up the word irrevocable.
True.
He cannot break a promise to himself. And if he does, what hope do you have as a Gentile if you're not Jewish?
That's right.
It's because he's holy. You may not agree with everything Israel does. You don't have to. You can pray for Israel. You can still support Israel. And don't buy into the propaganda, the lies, everything that you've seen on the news.
That's right.
We're going to talk about that. Sorry, Pastor Jack.
That's right.
Go ahead.
No, that's beautiful. I wanted them to hear all of this. So as we look, everybody, at what's going on in the culture and the world around us, one of the indicators that you should consider to be taken seriously is the fact that that Israel seems to be on the chopping block of public opinion. You need to ask yourself, why is this the case right here, right now? In the 21st century, with all that we know, with all that we've seen, for example, in the United States, since September 11, 2001, the United States has been under an invasion by Islam. And they're succeeding, if you haven't noticed. If you live in Texas, if you live in New Jersey, if you live in Minnesota, they are about to control. They're winning. It's interesting, though, to realize that if anybody should wake up to the realization that we need to know history and we need to defend history, it should be the United States. It should be the American. But that's not happening. And even that is in line with the end time scenario that the Bible speaks about. The scriptures announce that in the last days before Christ returns in the second coming. So if we're starting to see things like this now, the rapture hasn't even happened yet. The tribulation period hasn't even happened yet. The second coming obviously has not happened yet. If we're going to see a world turn its back on Israel and hate the Jews, the scripture declares this, where no nation in the world will stand in defense of Israel, the Bible tells us. If we're starting to see the forerunner of all of that in attitude and in action among the nations, how close are we? And how important is the Israel topic? Have you noticed people like Tucker Carlson and Matt Welsh and Candace Owens and others? What's happened to them? What's going on with them?
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned something a moment ago, and I think you knew what you were saying when you mentioned the identity of the Catholic religion. Now, I know in here many of you have come from the Catholic Church, but what you don't know, unless you're a Catholic theologian, is Catholicism is what is known as amillennial. Amillennial means there is no millennial reign of Christ. There's premillennialism. I'm a premillennialist. I believe that Jesus Christ is physically going to return to Israel, to Jerusalem. I believe that he's going to sit on the throne of David, that he's going to judge the nations of the world. Why do I believe that? Because the Bible says that. The Catholic Bible says that also. The difference is they have spiritualized it. So I'm premillennial. There are those who are postmillennial. That means they believe that once everything is all purified and made clean and made great, then Christ will come back to a world made perfect by us. Good luck. But in right. The middle, there's this amillennialism, which Catholicism is, and it has been from its origins, which believe that there is no physical reign of Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. It is just typology. It's a figure of speech. There is no actual Zion. There is no real Israel of the last days. In fact, there's no real last days. It's just all a type or symbolism. That's why if you are a Catholic, you were never taught biblical prophecy. You can't. That's not going to happen. So what you want to be is a premillennial, pre-tribulational futurist in your eschatology, which means this, that there's a seven-year time designated in the Bible. You guys know what that goes by? The seven-year what? Tribulation period. It's 7 years. It has to be 7 years. You want to know why it has to be 7 years? Because Daniel said it had to be, well, technically God said it has to be 7 years, but Daniel's the one that wrote it down. You were probably going to quote some New Testament author, and that's fine, but you would have been a little late to the game. It's Daniel, the Old Testament prophet. But when you do not believe that Israel is actual and a reality, by the way, I love dividing the name Israel like this, I-S-R-E-A-L. Mm-hmm. Israel is real. Think of that for a moment. And here's the thing, you guys, about this, is the fact that if you take Israel in the Bible, in your Catholicism or in your replacement theology, which these young people I mentioned a moment ago, that's what they believe. They believe that the church, wherever you see Israel, blot that out and put in church. Because you see, Israel murdered Jesus, so they're no longer qualified, so out they go and you put the church in. If you do that, then you have to carry that through all the way through Scripture, and that's how you become one who says the church is found in the tribulation period. Well, it's nowhere found in the tribulation period unless you make Israel in the tribulation period the church. Mm. And now you have what is that demonic doctrine called replacement theology. It fails to recognize the viability of God's ability to fulfill his promises. He can't do that. He failed at it. And so the church has come in, and the church now is the new Israel, because God couldn't keep his promises. Let me tell you something right now. If that's the God that I think, if I think that's the kind of God he is, I think we should all go and get drunk tonight. Because you've got a God who is an absolute impotent wimp who cannot keep his own word, and I don't want anything to do with him. But thank God he is not that God that they've made him out to be.
Amen.
He can be trusted. So, Daniel, let's talk about this.
Hold on. I want to make sure you hear something that Jack just said. He said, the world, well, this is me saying it. I can't remember exactly what he said. The world is on a collision course.
If it's good, I'll say I said it. So let's hear it.
Okay, this is me saying it, not him. Okay. The world is on a collision course with Islam.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm going to say that again. The world is on a collision course with Islam. Notice I didn't say radical Islam. The world is on a collision course with Islam. What does that mean? Who's been to London lately? Who's been to Paris? Who's been to France? Who's been to Brussels? Who's been to most of Europe?
Yep.
The United States, the church, needs to wake up. Wake up. We did a story, Real Life Network, a few weeks ago, called Sharia, Deep in the Heart of Texas. I don't know if you saw it.
You got to see it, everybody.
There is a community that Governor Abbott put a stop to, although their plans are still in the works, called Epic City. Who's heard of Epic City? Most of you. Okay, a lot of you, 50% of you. That's good. That's good. The people planning Epic City were so brazen. Chutzpah, that's the word. The chutzpah. That they planned this community, naming the roads of Muslim conquerors who killed Christians.
Yes.
They admitted, they laughed. We did a story about a podcast, them joking, not me saying this, how they used kuffar. Who knows what kuffar is? Yep. It's a non-Muslim. How they bought the developers, the city engineers, the planning people, they bought all of them.
They bought them off.
They said, these are our people. They paid them all. This is what we're going to name the streets. The community itself, where they were forcing the HOA, the community fees, 70% to go to support the mosque, knowing if you're a Christian, if you're an atheist, if you believe in nothing, you're not going to move into that community and support 70% of your dues going to a mosque, right? Who would do that? They were building an Islamic city. Dearborn, Michigan, Hamtramck, New Jersey, Paterson, New Jersey. They wear Palestinian flags on their police uniforms, and the cop cars have a Palestinian flag on them. Have you seen this? The United States is such a large country, but what they do is they come in, they say, we're a religion of peace. They have 8 children, 7 children, 6 children. No one stops them, and they just wait. They bide their time. They start to change the laws. They start to change the ordinances. Yasser Arafat, who remembers Yasser Arafat from the Palestinian Liberation Organization?
Yep.
Yasser Arafat admitted, he knew, he said, we don't have the firepower to defeat the West, to defeat the United States militarily. What did he say? We will conquer them through women's bellies.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing today. In the United States,
that's right.
Israel, our eyes are wide awake. We don't have the luxury of sleeping. We got caught off guard on October 7th. But everybody here in the United States, these communities, Epic City, that's deep red Texas. That's not a blue sanctuary place. That's deep red. Wake up.
I'm wondering if we in California have always hoped and believed that Texas was red. Like putting on a parachute just in case the plane goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Texas was that parachute.
Yeah.
And then when you take a look at this development, he's not talking about, you know, pup tents and, you know, pumping water here. It is, as its name says, Epic City. To find out now that the Texans, I think finally, from probably external pressure from those in other states, I hope some from Texans, when this issue was raised, by the way, please watch this documentary. But you do understand that when it comes to the American mindset, we are real suckers for perception. Perception.
Mm-hmm.
If you like it or not, we're real suckers for it. Do you know why you take your shoes off at the airport when you go through security? Does anybody know why? None of you know why. Not a single one of you know why.
The shoe bomber, Richard Reed.
Well, Richard Reed, you happened to use his shoe, and then after that, we had to take our shoes off. Somebody just said the answer. Say it again.
Makes us feel good.
Yes, sir. Makes us feel good. Did you know that security experts would tell you taking your shoes off, it doesn't do anything for anybody,
mm-hmm.
but it makes you think and feel that we're doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, Lisa and I just came in and out of Peru. To go into Peru and to go out of Peru, you don't take your shoes off. You don't take anything off. You just put your bag, and it goes through security, and you pick up your bag on the other end, and you get on the plane. You want to know why? Because they've got the technologies that do all the work that you hope that we're doing. The only problem is that in Lima, Peru, and in Cusco, Peru, the technologies were better than anything I've ever seen at TSA. My point is this. We have perceptions that we think, I'm safe now. Everybody had to take their shoes off. I'm safe. I'm not going to name the airline. I had a captain tell me. He recognized me, and he said, hey, I'm the captain of your flight today. Nice to see you. So we started talking about security stuff. I said, hey, I heard an agent say this about the shoes. He goes, totally true. Makes you feel good. Perception. Islam knows how to play the game. We think, oh, that's never going to happen here. When it happens in the United States, it is happening here. And Daniel said it very discreetly. Islam is devoted. And if you think I'm making this up, you can go to a website or websites where you can ask the imam. It's a Muslim website. And at that website, you'll learn, because the imam responds back, that pregnancy, repopulating and changing a city's demographic by 10% is every Muslim in every community's goal. Move into a city and just populate it, either by moving into it and or having 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 babies. Listen to this. Ask the imam said this. And don't worry about the stigma of having a wife, only a wife with 6 kids. He said the amazing thing about America is you can divorce that wife. They'll view it as a divorce. You view it as something else. You can marry another woman, impregnate her 5 to 6, 7 times. You can do this And this imam said, up to four times you can do this. You could have maybe 20, 25 children as one Muslim man in any particular community that you live in. And then the imam said this, this is the best thing of all, is that the system is set up in America to where the taxpayers will pay the welfare of the children and of the wives that you've had. This is reality strategy. This is what's happening. If you don't believe it, go to Act for America and ask Brigitte Gabriel.
Yeah.
Okay? But this is a real big deal.
There's a word that you should know if you're not familiar. The Quran, there's a word, taqiyya. Anybody know the word taqiyya?
Taqiyya.
It's actually where the Quran endorses that it says that they're allowed to be, the exact verbiage, but they're allowed to be deceptive. They're allowed to sort of like...
You're allowed to lie to advance the
cause of Islam.
Of Allah, right. Or Islam. Yes.
And that's what's happening.
That's what's happening.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I can keep naming cities.
So you say, well, what do we do? Well, actually, we need to start where we need to start, and that is we first of all need to get, and I wouldn't hold your breath on this, but pastors who know the truth. They know their Bibles for real, and they actually know the culture in which they live in, like the sons of Issachar did. They knew what Israel ought to do because they knew the times.
Yeah.
So you have to have a pastor that knows the times and knows the word. Colonial America, the pastors knew the time and they knew the word. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is you need Christians who are no longer fearful. They don't hold their lives dear to themselves. This is the generation of Christians in the West. They love their life more than they love God. They trust themselves more than they trust God. Because if we trusted God, then we would be more abandoned with our lives to do the will of God. And that would be to speak up the truth and say the truth. And so the only way to deal with the rise of a lie or this Islamic invasion is to speak truth, biblical truth. And I don't see that happening. I don't. If there was ever going to be a revival in America, I don't think there is. I disagree with a lot of people who are saying right now there's more young people attending church than there have been in years. It turns out that that is true. There are more young people flocking to the Catholic Church than any other time in recent history. They're not born again. They said so. They like candles. They like the liturgy, they like the music, they like the atmosphere. That's not being born again, folks.
Yeah.
And so this is a very critical time. So either America gets back to the Bible for real, or this is the trend. But the thing is this, I'm not too concerned about, I want to have a more hopeful story. And Daniel, Israel's promised salvation. Jeremiah 31:31 says this, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall everyone teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." Church family, you need to mark that down, take a picture of the screen. That's Jeremiah 31:31-34, and that is a biblical eschatological or prophetic verse of the Bible. This is what is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And there are people on the airwaves telling you that God does not have a plan for Israel anymore. That's a real big problem, or they have a real big problem. Daniel, talk about that for a moment, because you are actually part of the fulfillment of Jeremiah's ancient prophecy.
I'm a walking, talking, living embodiment of that very verse and that very piece of scripture. Like I said, I didn't realize in 2008 when we were married, hey, you're Jewish. Ezekiel, Isaiah, when they talk about God regathering his people from the four corners of the earth, that's me too. There are Jewish followers of Yeshua. There aren't many in Israel. But I will tell you, after October 7th, so many hearts were ripped open. Mm-hmm. There is a fertileness. There's an openness now. In our congregation, we've seen Jewish people come to profess Jesus and be saved. And we say, God bless them. That's amazing. Yes.
We've seen it happen here since October 7th.
Right. People in Israel are hungry for the truth. And October 7th is terrible as it was. I was the first group of journalists that saw the unedited Hamas massacre footage. I don't know if any of you have seen it. You've probably seen some on your WhatsApp. I picked up a microphone and did a live shot for Newsmax right after I watched that 4-minute mm-hmm. video. I could barely get through it. I could barely speak. My friends at the IDF, I said, Daniel, we didn't even show you the worst of it.
That's right.
And I said, what could be worse than all the things that we've already discussed? Can I say it or no? It's really hard.
No, listen, not only can you say it, before you say it,
yeah.
At the request of the Israeli government, I was asked to bring pastors into L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and have them see it.
Okay.
And so,
If you have children, I actually feel like I should say it, but I just don't want to. Well, it's really
before
upsetting.
Before you say it, here's what I said after the showing. The room was silent. People were weeping and all. My question to some of the Israeli government officials was, why didn't you show this on TV? Why didn't you show this? It made Anderson Cooper throw up when he saw it. You picked the most liberal progressive in the news today. All of them were completely befuddled and shocked. I saw it. We saw it. Whatever he says, there's no way that he's going to say the stuff that I saw. Say what you need to say. But I'm telling you right now, if you and I were alone somewhere where I'm not being viewed and watched, and you asked me, what did you see? If I told you, you would not believe it, because I don't believe a human is capable of doing that to another human.
Yeah. My brain, my heart, does not go to the level. Most of us, you couldn't even imagine the depth and the depravity of the wickedness. And I know you already know the wickedness. So this friend of mine who's a spokesperson for the IDF, he's not messing around. He's not joshing me. He says, there were men who had their penis cut off and shoved in their mouth on the Gaza border. There were women that were shot in the vagina and the bullet exited through their brains. That is who Israel is fighting. Today is day 678 of the war. There are still Israeli hostages. Hamas refuses. Israel has bent over backwards. Netanyahu has bent over backwards to bring the hostages home. Hamas refuses to release the hostages. Why? Anyone know? Go ahead. What? Yes, I heard the word. It's both. It's leverage, it's outrage. If Hamas refuses the remaining hostages, if there's a ceasefire, if the war ends, guess what? All this global anger that's been directed toward God's people will come to an end. Hamas doesn't want that to happen. They are winning the PR war. Mm-hmm. College kids in America are marching through the streets carrying Free Palestine and Gaza flags, mm-hmm. where if they were to just walk into Gaza dressed the way they're dressed, they'd be thrown off a roof or executed. Hamas so owns the media. There are 2.2 billion Muslims in the world, 15 million Jews. Who's got the bigger microphone? Who's got the bigger bullhorn?
The Islamic world.
Just in the last few weeks, who saw Eviatar David, 24 years old. He looked like he weighed about 60 pounds. You could see his ribs. And you see this video of him.
Yep.
And he says he's digging his own grave while While Israel's being accused of starvation, of starving the people of Gaza, the media is publishing photos of children with cystic fibrosis and other muscle disorders. And they're saying, Israel, look, they're starving these children. The Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, the GHF, is in Gaza right now, set up with the United States government to try to keep the aid to the civilians, not to Hamas. The UN won't deliver thousands and thousands of tons of aid. They're just sitting there.
That's always the situation.
Can you? This is Isaiah. This is good for evil and evil for good. Israel's being forced to give aid, food, medicine, diapers, formula, comfort to its enemy. Name another war where that's taken place. While being accused of war crimes, Netanyahu, Macron, the shameful leader of France, says that if he lands in France, he'll arrest him. Keir Starmer says they want to recognize a Palestinian state. Where? Where? We have a Palestinian state. It exists. Israel disengaged in 2005. They told the people there, they said, we'll help you. We'll have greenhouses. They supply water, electricity. You know what? What did Hamas do? The people of Gaza elected Hamas in 2007, and they started ripping out water pipes and building rockets with them and building tunnels deep underground. You know all this. I'm telling you, don't fall for it. Don't fall for the propaganda. It's thick. The spiritual war, it's a spiritual war. Satan can't attack God. He attacks God's people. And everybody, if you're not supporting Israel, you are supporting Hamas.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Neutral. Listen, he was very gentle, by the way, about those descriptions of what happened regarding those individuals. I'm telling you right now, as bad as that was. Here's the interesting thing about the Jews. Because of the law that God gave them and because of their culture, Hamas knows something and they view this as a weakness. Because you're of the West, you view this as a strength. Do you understand that a Hamas or Hezbollah terrorist will grab any child in their community or woman and use them as a shield to walk across the street against Israeli soldiers that are trying to take out the Hamas or Hezbollah soldier?
They dress like women as well. That's one of the things that makes it really hard for the IDF. You have a split second to respond, and some of the IDF soldiers that have been ambushed were ambushed by Hamas terrorists who were wearing women's clothes. They thought they were women.
So check this out. So for them, it's nothing to use their own people's lives. They view it as it's a write-off. It's for the greater good.
Yeah.
So I grabbed this 9-year-old. I don't know who she is. She was just close to me. I'll use her as a human shield because I got to get over there and get a drink of water. And if she gets shot, she gets, as long as I don't get shot, I don't care about her because she's just part of the solution. And here's the interesting thing about Israel. Now, I'm not going to say exactly what I think, but I'll just say this. If I were being held by Hamas or Hezbollah for 600 and some odd days, knowing what they do, I would hope Israel would or America would drop a bomb on my head. Do you understand how much suffering you go through if you get a bomb dropped on your head? You have no suffering at all. But Israel values life so high that they're using these skeletal remains of these prisoners, knowing all the while, listen, here's the punchline, to Israel, to a Jew, that other Jewish brother or sister is just as valuable to them dead as they are alive. That's why they will send in an army to get out the remains of one soldier or one father from a torn down tunnel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? To them, the value of life is getting the body home even. Your enemy doesn't think that way. It's kind of, I mean, not kind of like, nothing. There's no comparison, but the tactics. Did you know that Britain, when we were fighting for our freedom, did you know that England, the British forces were furious and called for a meeting? And they wanted to tell Washington and his brigadiers, you guys have got to just stop this. This is ridiculous. Ever since April 19th at Lexington and Concord, you guys, you Americans, you go into the woods and shoot from the trees. You guys hide behind rocks. You're using snipers to shoot us in our columns as we stand there in our redcoats. You need to be gentlemen and come out onto the field, line up in battle, and shoot each other face to face like it's supposed to be done. They were furious at us. The world cannot be pleased at this moment. There's nothing that can appease the world regarding this issue. It is a demonic attitude to hate God and to hate God's word. You're Antichrist. Isn't that what the Bible says? I didn't make that up. The Bible says that you're Antichrist. You say, well, who are you talking to? Anybody who hates God's word and hates God. I'm kind of setting the noose around your neck right now. Are you ready? For those pontificators on their podcast to say that the God of creation has nothing to do with the nation of Israel is to actually hate the God that said, not only is Israel mine, the land is mine, and I put my name. By the way, he has. You can actually see his name from space on a satellite. In Bethel, the house of God. Did you know that? In the mountains, there's the name of God in geological outline. It's incredible. That said, I'm getting off point. The point is this. God says, it's my land. Those are my people. I said they're my people. They're stubborn, rebellious, hard-necked people. And God says, those are the ones I picked. He didn't ask you who he should pick. He said, I'm going to pick them. I'm glad he picked them. Gives me hope.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. These people today that are doing all their talking, they claim to know God. I heard one of them say, I'm a Christian too. I have a right to speak into this. And then began to talk and completely betrayed his proclamation of being a Christian. Yeah. Friends, listen, you can't say that Israel is not real and the Jew has no right to the promised land that was given to Abraham when God says, oh yeah, I gave it to them. I'm the one that gave it. Man, today, I don't know why I should have brought it.
Yeah.
I'm going to be speaking in Arizona soon, and I was preparing the message for today, and I read a quote by Osama bin Laden. And I should have brought it. It was amazing.
What is it?
Osama bin Laden, I'll paraphrase it somewhat like this. Osama bin Laden said, until the West learns to stop being influenced by the United States of America, this battle will never end because everyone knows that Israel is only several decades old as a nation. Just the age of its birthday should tell the world how illegitimate they are. We were here long before 1948. And he said, it is so clear and so obvious, but America is so Jew sick in its affections that it's blinded the rest of the world. And Osama bin Laden said, even if there's one Muslim left in the world, that Muslim will fight to destroy the last remaining Jew and to take back its rightful land. If you don't know history, folks, if you think Israel is what this year, 77 years old? If you think Israel is 77 years old, I mean, I'm sorry, but you can overlook dumb for so long, and then you got to draw the line. Did you know that the Bible is older than 77 years old? Did you know that the name and the nation of Israel is in this book for thousands and thousands of years? Bin Laden knows that. He knew that. Well, he really knows it now, doesn't he? Osama bin Laden knew that at the time, but he chose not to say it. You want to know why? Because Americans in the West, frankly, I think it's French, are stupid. Americans are stupid. You need to know that. We're dumb. We're not bright on history. We're not bright on things that we should know about. And Osama bin Laden knew that. And I was talking to somebody else tonight. And I'll give it over to you. Did you know why Osama bin Laden chose September 11, 2001 for the attack? How old are you?
I'm 21.
How did you learn that? Oh, my goodness. There's your answer.
Did you hear it?
She was homeschooled. She had the answer. That's the first time. That's the first time I've ever heard an answer from the crowd. At the gates of Vienna on September 11, 1683, the Polish king rallied the European forces, communicating to them, if we don't stop this onslaught of the coming jihad against us, we will all be dethroned and killed from our various kingdoms that we possess in Europe. Mm-hmm. Our wives will be impregnated by Muslim men, and our children will become their slaves. We must battle. And the European forces rallied to the King of Poland's challenge, and they went on horseback. Watch this, everybody. Watch how much we followed the lie. They rallied together and they fought the invasion. These crusaders fought the invasion of the Islamic forces and defeated them on September 11th, 1683 at the gates of Vienna in Austria. I deliberately said the word crusader. You ever heard about the Crusaders? Now look, war is horrible, and I'm not condoning the atrocities of any warring group. But answer this question to yourself. If the Crusaders were so bad, then what were they doing defending their borders in Austria against Muslims from Saudi Arabia? Are you thinking? Crusaders of Europe were fighting in Europe to stop the advancement of the invasion from Saudi Arabia. Question, what were Muslims doing in Europe? It's called jihad. But all we hear about in our public school system is how bad the Crusaders were. Mm-hmm. We're being lied to.
Yeah. Pastor Jack, thank you for bringing that word about Jeremiah. I want to reframe it also. So what we just read. I want to just refresh. I think we have short memories. Think about and point out really how God's been glorified. Mm. He's making his own name great, even with everything going on.
That's right.
Look at the incredible victory. I'll just remind you, Hezbollah, the beeper attack. My goodness, they spent years setting that up. I live in a secular part of Israel, Tel Aviv. Israel's like two different countries. Mm-hmm. Jerusalem's the ultra-Orthodox, that's very conservative. Tel Aviv, far left, 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 because it's two different countries.
Venice Beach. It's like Venice.
Yeah, there you go. But where we live, our neighbors are saying, the victories that Israel's experiencing, they sound like they're right out of the Bible.
Yes. That's right, they are.
How God is showing himself strong.
Yeah,
look
true.
At the, yes.
That's
look
true.
At the Hamas is still there. They've been decimated. Hezbollah, decimated. The 12-day war, that war with Iran, that was no joke, y'all. No, I'm not kidding.
It's true.
The last day of the war, when they agreed to the ceasefire, and this is common. But if you remember, Trump was all angry, he chastised Netanyahu, he was all mad at Hamas, he was mad at everybody, because when the ceasefire is announced, both sides unload on each other. It's like, Pastor Jack, when a bully gets punched in the face on the schoolyard, and the other person says, and you remember that. Both sides were just unloading on each other. That last day, our family, we had seven different alerts. We were up, we were down in our mamad. Our mamad, our safe room, is a concrete room fortified with a big steel door. We were up, we were down, sirens going off, up, down. I was hearing, our house was shaking. I shared some of the videos.
Yeah.
Our house was literally shaking. There's an Iron Dome intercept site right by our house. And I'm holding my phone, I'm recording, and you can hear. I was like, those are the interceptors being launched. And then, and our house literally shaking. And then, it was about 9 o'clock that night, they said, it's all over. Kids are going back to school tomorrow. Make sure their lunches are packed and their box. I was like, wait, what? This happened. You're laughing.
It's true.
It's crazy. It's not normal. Israelis are so resilient. Our middle daughter had a test. She went back the next day to a test. I was like, are you ready for your test? Wait a minute. We just had 6 Iranian ballistic missile strikes back to back to back. And that's just, it's over. They're so used to it. It's wild. But God is still proving himself strong.
Oh, what a weather report.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? Today's weather report, light to heavy metal falling on your house.
Yeah.
Israel's, we talked about Israel's right to the land. Genesis 13, verse 14 to 17. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants for how long, everybody?
Forever.
And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you, God said to Abraham. One more. Genesis 17, verse 7 says, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. That means he's not going to change, folks. For an everlasting covenant.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
To be God to you and your descendants after you, also I give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Do you see when you deny the existence of a Jew, of the land of Israel, the land belonging to the descendants of Abraham, do you see how you are actually Antichrist in your view? Because you're not believing the words of the God of the Bible. It's very, very important.
Yeah.
Daniel.
It's also important to remember, I think you were talking with Amir a couple of weeks ago about the actual borders of Israel.
Oh, yes.
What are the actual borders of Israel? The Nile?
Yeah.
The Euphrates?
Yes.
The Jordan River is basically that is the east side. Oh, I want to make this point, please. Thank you, Lord. What I say and how I say and how I speak, I'm very careful about the words that I use. And when you watch the news, I'm going to bring back to the news. We can go back to you, Pastor, in a second. But when I watch the news, my ear is like this. Do you listen like this when they talk about Israel?
Yeah.
Because when they say occupied land,
right.
You go, you're done.
That's right. Over.
Whatever news organization you are. I've sat across from a table from Prime Minister Netanyahu, and I've spoken to him about this. He said, how can we occupy our own land? This is our land. He's exactly right. Prime Minister Netanyahu will not cede one inch of Israeli soil to Hamas. It's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
I believe that.
Yeah, it's true.
When the media says the West Bank, that's not what the Bible calls it. The Bible calls it Judea and Samaria. You have to be very careful. You have to listen. Occupied, West Bank. These are people who already have an anti-Israel agenda right from the
outset.
Right. I say Judea and Samaria. I don't even use the word Palestinian. I just say Gazans. Gazan civilians.
That's right.
There is no Palestine.
That is accurate.
I don't say Palestinian. I just don't.
You guys, this church should know. You guys should know where Palestine came from, right? Does this church know
yeah.
this? Of all churches, you
I'll
should
I'll spare
know.
You that one. I knew you already knew it.
Yeah, you've been told this.
Yeah.
But remember, that was a construct by the Emperor of Rome Hadrian in 135.
Yep.
He made it up to insult the Jews. He named them after the after the ancient Philistine warriors that harassed Israel in its history. So he gathered his council together, said, "How can I insult the Jews?"
Yep.
Rename the land. Name it after the Philistines. So that's what he did.
Yeah, that's exactly what he did.
So, Daniel.
Yeah.
This is good. We touched on this earlier today, you and I did, but
okay.
It's good for us to do it now. It's so important that Israel remain Israel, Jerusalem remain Jerusalem. I mean, I don't mean to upset anybody, but it's not that important that America stays America or Canada stays Canada. And I'm going to qualify this in a moment. It's not even important if Hawaii stays Hawaii. Because Jesus is not returned to any one of those places when he comes back. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love California, but he ain't coming back here. So here's the deal. Isn't it interesting, everybody?
Mm-hmm.
The Jews need to be driven from the river to the sea. They need to be drowned in the Mediterranean, and the land needs to be taken back into our hands. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Why? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand.
Mm. Yep.
Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. This is the Olivet Discourse.
Yep.
This is what's going to happen during the tribulation period, folks. Notice words like Judea, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. We're looking at Bible prophecy right now. We're looking into the future. It's too bad God didn't get the memo. Judea is going to be existing. Christ is going to come. Romans 11, verse 25. For I do not desire, Paul is speaking, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of
Zion.
And he will turn away unrighteousness from where?
Jacob.
Jacob is another name for Israel.
Yeah.
This is the future, everybody. So do you really believe God? Those of you that are here, do you really believe the Bible? Do you really believe? Or are you listening to BBC? Or you young people, are you listening to your university professor? That's a tough one. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's some good professors somewhere. I'm sure there are. There has to be. But that's a hard hill for me to climb on, is for you to have worked all the thousands and hours that you worked at your career.
Yeah.
To pay into your self-imposed college fund for your child, to pay their way with you believing the whole time they're going to come out of college with an engineering degree or be a dentist or a designer or something, and they come back from their first year of school, and the very hand that fed them on campus while they were there and the ignorant, worthless professor and his retirement, your child comes home and says, "You don't know what you're talking about. This country was created by a bunch of white slave owners.
Yeah.
This was never a Christian nation. Communism is the way to go."
Mm-hmm.
Man, if there could ever been a refund, that would have been the moment to cash it in. But you're not getting your money back, Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Not going to get it back. Best, in this day and age, best to send your kids to a trade school. And by the way, AI is going to be doing away with a lot of jobs in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
But the way I figure it, I want my grandkids to maybe graduate with a plumbing degree.
Mm.
Because have you needed a plumber lately? Have you had to pay a plumber for 1 hour? And I don't see how AI could ever get down in that hole and fix that.
Yeah.
That's my free educational advice for you.
We'll save the college funds. Who wants to be used by the Lord? Who wants to be a weapon?
Oh, yeah.
There's only one word that you have to say to the Lord if you want to be the baddest, the bestest, that Navy SEAL Team 6. There's one word that you have to say when he calls on you. What is it? Yes. Say yes. That's it. Just say yes. Lord, what do you want me to do? And when he tells you, say yes. If it doesn't line up with the Bible, it's not from the Lord. Go rob a bank. No. No. You'll get rich quick. No. Say yes. We had never been to Israel. We had dreamed of going to Israel. I'd worked in newsroom, big and small. The Lord said, I'm sending you to Israel. It's a miracle that he parted the blue sky and the Red Sea to bring my family there during COVID. We just said yes. Hey, sell your cars. You don't need those cars. Okay. Hey, sell your furniture. We thought, Pastor Jack, we bought one-way tickets when we went because we thought we were going to go for like maybe 3 months. Yeah. We called it a sabbatical. I was a morning news anchor. I'd woken up at 2:30 in the morning to go do that job at Fox 11 as the morning anchor. And I said, you know what? Let's go. Let's just sleep. You know, this was our sabbatical rest. When my contract with Newsmax was up last summer, and when Pastor Jack and I, when we connected and we said, God is launching the Real Life Network, we went out, news division from Israel. If you remember in the very beginning of our talk tonight, I said, I was heartbroken that I had this week of interviews in Franklin Graham and they spiked that interview. I was really looking forward to that. I thought the people needed to hear a hopeful, faith-filled, God-filled message. My very first day, Real Life Network, a friend of mine calls me night before. He says, Daniel, I need you to come down to the Gaza border tomorrow, okay? I've walked the Gaza border with Mike Pompeo. I've walked with Nikki Haley. I've walked with Governor Huckabee, who's now Ambassador Huckabee.
Yeah,
please
amen.
Pray for him.
Great.
This friend of mine says, there's an organization that's in Israel. It's my first day with Real Life Network. And they're dedicating 24 armored ambulances for the people on the Gaza border to protect them from future terror attacks. Guess what that organization was? It was the Billy Graham event. It was the Billy Graham Foundation. Look at this.
How great.
God is such a gentleman, and God has such a sense of humor, that 4 years before that picture was taken, I was crushed, and he said, don't worry, I got you covered. God's hand is on the Real Life Network. God's hand is on you, Pastor Jack. Keep praying for us and our family in Israel. I know our time's getting short, so I'm not closing it. I'm just saying, I wanted to share that with you just to say God's promises, he's faithful, he's true. And all we did was say yes. That's all you have to do. Just say yes. He may not tell you move to Israel. He may just say, hey, feed that homeless person that you walk by every single morning when you walk into work. Or bring a bottle of water to that person. Or a sandwich. Could be anything. But I want to also just really stress, this is a moment to level up, church. Right now, this is a moment to level up. You have to know what this says. You have to know about Israel. That's what the book's all about. It's all about Israel. And if you don't know what it says about Israel, you're ignorant of the things of God. This is his heart right here. Amen. Israel is his nation. I've got a crash course from the front row seat. But I encourage you all to come, please. Come, see for yourself so you can come back. I'm deputizing all of you. When you come back from Israel, tell everybody what you saw.
Yes, that's right.
It's not an apartheid state. Are you kidding me?
No.
There's Arabs that serve on the Supreme Court. There's Arabs in the Knesset. That's not apartheid. Israel's not committing a genocide. It's defending itself against maniacs who won't even wear a military uniform, who hide behind children, who hide behind women, who put weapons inside mosques, inside UN facilities, in hospitals, knowing that when Israel takes those out, the media will say, Israel attacked a hospital. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wake up, everybody.
That's right.
Come to Israel. You'll see, like, wow, it's actually not at all what I've been seeing on the news. Arabs and Jews live in peace. If you go to Nazareth, there are Arab Christians there. One of our favorite things to do, there's a village, Nazareth Village. It's wonderful. We praise and worship in Arabic with Arab Christians there. It's incredible. Jews, Arabs, Christians, all working.
That's right.
It's amazing. I encourage you all to come. Look me up if you do. I'd love to meet you for a coffee, okay?
Well, you guys, I might get in trouble for saying this, but you guys know we've had a trip booked forever, and it keeps getting canceled by things like COVID.
Come.
And then wars. And so the trip is back on. We had, listen to this, Daniel.
Yeah.
We had 500 people, and we had over 2,000 people on a waiting list. And then all, of course, COVID, and then the war and all this stuff. And so thank God now everything is back on, just like it was planned years ago. It's all back on. And I believe we'll be heading out to Israel on, March, a date in March anyway.
Okay.
And it's going to be quite remarkable because Amir and I, for 23 years, we've done Israel together, Amir and I. And so we're going to be doing some great events, you guys, with those who come with us. And one of the things will be at the David's Harp in the Galilee. We're going to be doing a incredible Bible prophecy night in the Galilee, among touring daily at all the various sites, but a special night of Bible prophecy from the Galilee, that is going to be quite something. And then later on in the week, we're going to be doing another prophecy night in the old city of Jerusalem.
That's great.
Can you imagine at night? Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be tremendous because we're going to have the Real Life Network team filming this. It's going to be spectacular, not to mention the fact that every day on that trip, we're going to be taking you to places. I promise you this, we will take you to places where we'll open the Bible from Old to New Testament, and we'll have the reading of it, and you understand it, and then you're going to be able to pick up some of the dirt and rub it into your Bible because it just happens to be the exact same spot you're standing in. And I want to end tonight by saying this. There's no religious book in the world or collection of writings that you can travel to and go to and experience what is written at the spot where it happened, like the Bible. Spanning multiple continents, 66 books, 40 different authors, most of them never met one another, with a message from Genesis to Revelation that is all about one particular individual, only one. A book that in its collective time span of writing is somewhere from start to finish around 1,800 years in the making. Not one verse contradicts another. Critics have been attacking this book since it's been given by God, since Genesis 1:1. They've never once found a boo-boo.
Yeah.
In fact, if you think the Bible is flawed, why don't you point it out and publish that, and you'll probably make $1 billion. So go ahead, knock yourself out. Find a fault or flaw in the Bible. So we're inviting you to come with us. I assume there's spots open. But we're going to walk these places. But here's the bottom line. King David, 3,000 years ago, prophesied by the Holy Spirit in Psalm 22. Now, this is personal right about now. There's only one person that's going to know what I'm talking about. Maybe two. I think Lisa's in here. So on Monday night in Newport Beach, Edna, if you're watching, I told you that this is Daniel Cohen. And you said, a Kohathite. And Lisa asked you, what is your accent? Where are you from? And you said, I'm Israeli.
Yeah.
And I told you that you needed a watch tonight. There's a lot of people here right now. And that Daniel's Jewish. I'm not Jewish. But both of us are the exact same on the inside.
Yeah.
I'm Jewish on the inside. My heart's been circumcised. By the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you should know, if you don't know, If you don't know, you should know that you and your sister, Rachel, that King David said that the Messiah would have his hands and his feet pierced. Mm-hmm. That was 1,000 years before Jesus was ever born.
Yeah.
Micah chapter 5, verse 2, the Hebrew prophet said that the Messiah would come to the world being eternal, yet he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Isaiah the prophet said that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, a young woman, without the help of a male, divine. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, chapters 50 all the way out to 53, that the Messiah, for the sins of mankind, he would have his beard plucked out, he would have his back laid open, he would be so mutilated by the vengeance of man that he would not be recognizable as human. That was prophesied about Yeshua, the son of David. And then finally, for all of you tonight, this very same one is the one who, and I gave this to you, Edna, I wrote it down on the paper. Who is he who has ascended into heaven? And who is he who has descended? Who has hollowed out the seas in the hollow of his hand and has folded the winds in the folds of his robe? What is my name? And what is the name of my son, if you know? The bottom line tonight is this. Don't tamper with the word of God. God takes his word very seriously to the point where he says, I esteem my word. Psalm 138, I esteem my word above my own name. And remember what he's saying here. I hold my word higher than my own name. And do you remember about that name? That name among all names, above all names, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Yeshua is Lord and Savior to the glory of God the Father. Yep. That there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved but the name Jesus. And God says, as much as I have that name, I lift up my word above my own name. When you say God lies in this area, then you don't have a God at all. Folks, we're living in a very dangerous time. You either know the truth and it will set you free, or if you're flirting around and goofing off with lies, you are going to be strangled by the falsehood of this world. And you don't even know what's true or false anymore. We talked about this tonight. And yeah. I have to end. We have to end. It's over. AI, in the last 6 months, AI has just gotten so much more better at deception. And I hate to tell, I think Lisa's here right now. She's going to be really disappointed to hear this, but there was a trampoline with about 50 bunny rabbits bouncing on it. How many of you saw that? Raise your hand.
Everybody.
It's AI.
Everybody's left.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Those are the cutest bunnies we've ever seen, right? They weren't real. And then, you know, the two deer that jumped the fence to go in the people's backyard to jump on the trampoline?
Mm-hmm.
I know even when God even hurt, didn't it? Wasn't real. Now there's debates on the street of people arguing with the microphone, reporter on the street. They're not real. Completely false.
Mm-hmm.
We leave you with this. The only way that you're going to know the truth is by supernatural revelation by God. Listen, called discernment. If I can speak Spanish up with AI on a sermon to people in South America who are listening to me speak in Spanish and reading my lips in Spanish, folks, I don't speak Spanish. But we pay a company to do that, to get the word of God out.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you're going to know the truth now is if this is inside of you, and when you hear something, you're going to judge it against what you know is his word.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll know that it's false.
Yeah.
If you don't know this, your days are numbered. I got to be the first to tell you. You're walking a wire over the pit of destruction. You need Jesus, friend. Did we ask tonight, did we ask you for money? Did we ask you to sign a membership card? We don't want that to get in the way of you meeting Jesus, okay? You need to call out to him because the one that died on the cross for your sins is the one who says, come to me. And you ask him into your life. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against you. I pray that you forgive me of my sin. Give me a brand new life. I want a new life. Listen, be honest. Wouldn't you trade your life in for a new one if God said, I'll give you a new one? Do it. Do it. When you sinned behind that back alley or in the back seat of that car or in that theater or out there in that place, you didn't do it by yourself. God saw you, and it broke his heart. He loves you, and he wants you to be forgiven. Let's pray. Father God, we pray right now that that's exactly what would happen here right now.
Would it be okay? It would really bless me to bless everyone.
Yes, yes. That Father, right now, Lord, in Jesus' name, that while we've got our eyes closed and our heads bowed, that there'd be decisions now for Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Young people, be thinking right now.
Yes.
Old man, old woman, you better be thinking right now. Mm-hmm. While you're living today, now, in this acceptable time, choose Jesus Christ. Tell him in your own words that you're a sinner and you've sinned against him and you've offended him and you're asking him to forgive you of your sins. And that you are willing to accept his free gift of salvation, and you receive it, friend, by putting your faith in him. It's not hard to do because God keeps his word. He's made it simple. There's a lot of people you trust and they've let you down. That doesn't mean you shouldn't trust again. It means you should be smart about who you trust. Well, there's no smarter decision than to trust the eternal God who cannot lie. Say yes to him right now.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Get a Bible. Start reading in John's Gospel. Yes. Or go online if you don't have a Bible. The Bible's available all around the world for free right now. Go to John's Gospel and start reading it online. And then tell somebody that you've accepted Christ. Let us know. We'd love to help you along in your walk with God. I'm going to ask you to stand right now, folks. I'm going to ask you to lift your hands because we're going to have Daniel pray over you the Aaronic blessing.
Yeah.
And with that, we'll be dismissed.
It's such an honor. Thank you, Pastor Jack.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate you as a Cohen, as a Levi. You know, the sons of Aaron, this is what they were commanded to pray, and it's actually something my wife and I love to pray over our children before we put them to bed. So let me just thank you for extending your hand. Everechecha Adonai veYishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav lecha vichunecha, Yisa Adonai panav lecha veYasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you his peace, his shalom. Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys.